Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. I'm excited for this episode. I mean, we had maybe the most exciting match we've had all year, and the most exciting match I can really remember in a long time. So excited to dive right into it. We have Mike and Alex here tonight. Let's start with Mike. How you doing, my man?
Oh man, feeling dang good, dude. Like it's a fun weekend for my sports teams, both the Orlando City and my Giants, coming over huge deficits to get the win late. It's always exciting when you get a moment like that. I'm feeling pretty damn good.
Yeah, I watched a lot of the highlights and I tried to watch the game back, but I was at work and I get off at like 9:15 and we were down 3-2 and I was like watching the game as I'm walking back to where my bicycle is to ride it. And it was like, we scored. And then I was like, just sitting there waiting. We got free beers at where I work. It's like one of the best perks. So I was just sitting there drinking a beer and all of my coworkers were like wondering why I was screaming when Ramiro put it in there at the very end. So I was pumped up, man. That was a hell of a match. And I can't remember a match like that in a long time, at home and hearing the stadium like that. I haven't heard it like that on TV, since I've moved down here 3 years. So it was good to hear. And it's only going to keep getting better. My man, Alex, my other Alex Ryder. What's up, my brother?
I love a good come from behind story. I'm just not as happy about the result for my Bears, so we won't talk about professional football from my point of view. I'm more just excited about what happened to Orlando, and we proved that. I tweeted it. I went with the whole theme. When Facundo scored, we will not go quietly into the night. We did not vanish without a fight, and we lived on, and we got the 3 points against Columbus. And it's a big moment. I scared the crap out of some house guests because I originally had it on television and then they wanted to watch college football. And I moved it to my iPad because we were down 3-1. And the next thing you know, I'm losing my ever loving mind, having us score 3 goals in what, 20 minutes?
Something like 24 minutes, including
something added time. Insane. So yeah. I'm hyped. I know the fan base is pretty hyped, and we got to start believing this team is real. I believe I saw that we're about to exceed our highest point total. Mike, I think it was you that posted in the chat that we're about to exceed our highest point total with 6 matches yet to play. Game on. Let's go.
Yeah, part of me just hopes that this isn't the high of the season, because I hope that there will be more highs, because, you know, we're heading into a couple tough matches. You know, NYC always plays us hard. And of course, Messi FC on Saturday, or Sunday rather. So I'm just hoping this isn't, you know, the peak of the season. Last year it happened in September with the Open Cup victory, and then we kind of fell off. So I'm really excited about the dub, and I'm really hoping we can stay level headed and realize that this team does have a lot more to get. So this is just another stepping stone in the process of what this team can accomplish. So we'll get into our sponsors. As always, FieldTurf USA, appreciate them and what they've done for us in the past. They've been with us since the beginning, so of course we appreciate them. Leo with Epic Mortgage Group, if you ever need any questions about your mortgage, if you are looking to refinance, I don't know why anybody would, just being honest, with the rates so high right now, and everybody's locked into low rates. But if you're looking to buy a house and are trying to make that step, hit up Leo and he'll point you in the right direction. His phone number is 407-844-7696. And then, of course, our main man who is not here tonight, but the OG originator. He was with us when we just celebrated our 200th episode, Mr. Eddie Cruz, for all your insurance needs, personal insurance, health and or life insurance, even pet insurance, jewelry, if you need that insured, hit him up
for your Printers brand new insurance. Apple Watch.
Yeah. Whatever, Watch whatever insurance. You need. They got some good, good endorsements for that. You know, life comes at you fast and you never need insurance until you actually need it. So make sure not only you're getting the best price, y'all, but make sure you're getting the best coverage. If you own a house that's, like I said this on the 200th episode, if you own a house that's worth $500,000 and you're covered to the Florida state minimums on your auto insurance, you are doing it wrong. Insurance is to protect your assets. So keep that in mind. Call Eddie, give him a text, 407-590-8359, and he can take care of you guys and make sure that you're getting the best price and have a good amount of coverage to protect those assets that you may have. So but yeah, let's hop right into it. 4-3 dub, home match. You know, Columbus is a strong team. Of course, the ESPN power rankings came out, and we finish we finish right behind them in the power rankings. Although we're ahead of them in the schedule and just beat them at home, so that is pretty standard. I know Mike loves those things, but at this point, they're just kind of funny. They're a good comedy in my opinion. But you know, we get down early, you know, and then we tie the game, and then it was 3-1 before you can even know it. So there was a lot of you know, talk going around. Oscar Pereja came out with those post game quotes. He said when they were down 3-1, he said they weren't going to go tie it. They were going to go win the match. Facundo comes in, has an amazing goal, thanks to Ramiro Henrique having a beautiful touch, dipping it off to Ojeda. And then Ojeda is always one to make that extra pass, I feel. But this time it was the right thing to do, and Facu buried it. And then you had Ramiro Henrique just – I mean, I don't think people are talking enough about his touch on the third goal in the middle of the box, touching that thing down with his right foot and then just burying it with his left foot. You know, there's a lot of strikers in the best leagues in the world that couldn't do that. That was a moment of brilliance for me. And then he was in the right spot at the right time again on the very last kick of the game. Ojeda with the beautiful ball in. Keeper makes a mistake. And Ramiro makes no mistake about it and gets us a dub. Stadium goes wild. And we take the 3 points. 5 dubs out of the last 6 games and a draw. We are the hottest team in the MLS. And I've said this ever since we started this podcast that you – doesn't matter. I remember when we won 6 in a row and then we ended up the season horrible in 2018, but it doesn't matter when you get hot. You only get a star for winning 4 in a row at the right time. That's it. You know, you could be the worst team, you know, the 8th or 9th team nowadays and still get a star if you win the right 4 games in a row. So we're getting hot at the right time. I hope, like I said, this isn't the peak of the season, because there's a part of my brain that worries about that. That's a very emotional victory, especially at home. So I hope we can move forward. I would be satisfied with some results this week for sure. Because as what goes up must come down, and I'm not ready to come down yet. So Mike, let me know, how you're feeling about the dub. I know you actually got to watch the entire game. What stood out to you?
Oh man, it's, just a hell of a performance all around. And one of the things that I want to highlight is the hydration break speech, allegedly, that was given by Poppy to the boys. Basically, when that was given, I believe it was 3-2. And essentially when that hydration break happened, he just said, we're going to give this our all. We're going to keep going for it. And he said, we're not going to tie this game. We're going to win it. And that's one of the things that I feel like has been just such a monumental shift in the mentality of this team, and how much has changed. Like, just out of curiosity, I asked both of you real quickly, do you know how many Poppy specials there have been this season?
2, I think.
2, correct. One of them was the first game of the season, and the only other one that has happened and is the one that I will go ahead and accept was the 1-0 win over Cincinnati away, which was the at the time and still currently can be argued is the best team in the league. the mentality has shifted that we're just going to overpower you with offense. And I think that's part of the reason why, like, guys like Dagger Danthorhalsson are now starting consistently at right back, because it's just like, we know we have the attacking power to just take you over. And that's what happened here, is we knew, we spotted weaknesses and we were able to get this done. Only thing that I'm a little bit ticked at is it doesn't seem like MLS is giving Faku the assist on the game-winning goal. Because if you watch that replay back, 100% Faku heads it across the goal, and no one touches it until it hits Enrique's foot. So he 100% should be getting the assist on that. And I mean, Ojeda should get the hockey assist that Cleon's going to complain about, but I digress about that. But no, this was incredible performance, incredible spirit from the team, from leadership, from management, from our captains and Mauricio and Robin Jansen. Like, this is just one of those ones. This is a tone setter. Being 3-1 down, coming back and winning 4-3 in the span of about 20 minutes, this is a game that sets tones for the rest of the season and for the playoffs. So you're right about saying we got hot at the right time. We need to keep that high going. We do still have a tough end of the season here. But like right now, vibes are at an all-time high, and this is just something that we got to keep riding until we can't.
They definitely are at an all-time high, not just this season, but arguably ever. This is definitely the highest we've ever been in the table this late in the year. Usually we're battling for a spot, you know, whether it's a home field game or just a spot in the playoffs. But it seems like, you know, it's going to take a lot for us to be even battling for that home field. I mean, it seems like we're pretty solid in there. So we are second in the entire league. We are on our way to a Champions League spot if we can continue this up, and definitely on our way to hosting, you know, one, two, maybe all of the playoff games in general. So that'll be a huge, huge help, especially with our home form lately. Ryder, anything stand out to you? Tell me what your thoughts were watching it down there in Naples.
What stood out to me is the fact that we didn't break. We bent. We definitely gave up a lot of goals. There was a bit of rust in the defense, but that's partially because we're still not at 100% with Antonio Carlos still out. But we're still holding strong, and we're using all the pieces at our disposal. I mean, even Duncan was out for this one. Enrique comes in and has he's in the running for, I don't know if he's won it yet or not, man of the match day level performance for MLS. Can confirm,
he did win man of the match day from the league.
As he should have. Oh my gosh. It was just such a gutsy performance by him, and you're absolutely right. His touches have that one touch on the first goal he scored, chef's kiss. But we didn't give up, and it's the protagonist thing. It's the don't just sit back and try and get a draw after scoring the third goal and equalizing. It's go for it. Go for the jugular. Get those 3 points. And those are valuable 3 points. I mean, it might not get us supporter shield. Some people are starting to say that. I'm saying no. Get second place. Get that Champions League spot. And get that home field advantage. And let's go riding red hot into the MLS Cup playoffs. We got to shape up the defense a little bit, but man, this team is playing with heart, and the fans love that. This has always been a club that loves the heart and hustle and all that jazz, but they're actually doing it, and they're doing it in faces of adversity. When you go down 3-1 and you come back, and your manager, who we criticized 4 or 5 months ago for not adapting, not going for the jugular, he did exactly that. And that's something we definitely need to talk about here in a little bit. But I love it. I want more. I want to keep doing this. We got 6 more matches between now and the playoffs. Let's go for it.
Let me ask you, if you guys, because I've voiced my opinion on this, it's hard to say I don't want the supporter shield, but I don't think it's possible, and I'm not upset about it not being possible is my best thing that I could, the best way that I could put it, you know, from a couple reasons. Cincinnati's schedule is cake. I mean, we're 8 points behind them. We'd have to win every single match, and they can only get 10 points, or really, what, 9 points in their last six games. And their next four games are against, like, Charlotte, Montreal, New York Red Bull, and Toronto. You know, literally, I mean, four of the worst teams in the league. So, you know, I think that they probably lock up that supporter shield there after that four-game stretch. But, you know, Messi's going to make the playoffs. There's a countdown on Apple TV, you know, a whole section about them and their road to the playoffs. It's really sickening for everybody that's not a Messi Miami fan. I can't imagine that there's a single person of a fan of another team that does not vomit slightly in their mouth when they see that every time they turn on Apple TV. So they're going to make the playoffs. There's a huge gap from seventh to that eighth and ninth spot. So when they make the playoffs, they're going to make the wild card. And then since he's going to have to play them round one, they're going to have to play two matches, you know, win two out of three matches against Messi. They're and a team that hasn't, they've lost one with Messi, or they haven't lost a single one with Messi since he actually was playing for them. So they're going to have to not only beat them once, but they're going to have to beat them twice in three games. You know, I don't want that, especially as a rivalry. They can keep that. I'd rather have one match against Messi in the Eastern Conference Finals at home with a chance to go to MLS Cup, and that's it. That's what I would rather have, because, you know, being the two seed, it really seems like the more attractive, more sexy option, at least in my opinion, for the playoffs as they go up. And we're ahead of every single team in the West. So, you know, when you look at that, you take that into effect. We play Nashville as it stands right now in the first round. And if we get through them, you know, we probably play Atlanta. And then that's Atlanta at home. And then it would be Messi at home for a chance to host the MLS Cup, you know? So that's the route that I would rather go, as opposed to having to, you know, winning a supporter shield would be fantastic, but nobody ever remembers who wins the supporter shield. I've said that for a while too, but do you guys have any specific thoughts about that? Right. We'll start with you, Ryder.
First off, I just got chills. We're going to come back to this when we start talking playoffs, and you can call your shots once we know what the bracket's going to be, but that's for a later time. I would like to win hardware. I would like to win the supporter shield. Do I need to win the supporter shield this year? No. I'm just happy that it's even a conversation right now. I'm more excited about the fact that we are in a great spot. We're performing well. We've got a lot to play for still with Champions League, and to lock up a top seed in the top four to host as many home games as possible. And I'd rather get second, go in strong, and have a deep run with a strong seed than risk it all just to win hardware that doesn't give us a star. Like you said, it does. You don't get the star on the jersey unless you win MLS Cup. So I say let's go for the run, let the rags to riches Cincinnati get their trophy, have their fun. They won't have to spray paint a trophy like, who was it, Philly?
That was actually going to be one of the things I was going to say, is the only memorable supporter shield winner is Philly for the time that they won it when no one thought they were going to. So they won a Captain America shield that had a magnet of the supporter shield over the top of it.
Exactly.
God, this league sometimes, man.
It's silly season, but at this point, let's just go for it. MLS Cup. We've got the momentum. We've got the players. Let's go for it. So don't need to risk anything unnecessarily to try and overtake Cincinnati. New England's a hot mess right now. I'm not too worried about them. Philly is who I'm more worried about at this point.
Mike, any thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing I will say about Philly is really Philly passing us is one of those ones that's most likely going to be a non-factor as far as CONCACAF Champions Cup qualification because they're already in. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but still, I'd rather have second.
I agree. I just want to say that as far as Champions qualification, we're good there. But we still have some tough games here. We got to make sure that we get it out. No matter how much we want to admit it, Fort Lauderdale is going to be a tough game because of who they got on their team. Nashville is going to be a tough game. Montreal is still fighting for playoff spots, going to be a tough game. And New England, a team that is going to be fighting to get ahead of us, going to be a tough game. So of the six games, four of them are ones that are going to be tough games versus teams that are trying to advance themselves ahead of us. The only ones that really should be gimmies are NYC, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, and Toronto later on, which is a team that is just an absolute dumpster fire. I agree. Strive for second realistically it makes sense because I don't think that the supporter shield is something that's attainable. It's mathematically it is, but at the same time, that is also predicting that Cincinnati falls off a cliff. But I said on our preseason pod, if you ask me which trophy I want the one that puts a star above the crest. So that want is still true. Let's get this MLS Cup. And once we get to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's always the one I've been after. I want the star on the above the crest. That's all I want. So, and especially with the potential to, if we're there, we're going to host it. If we do finish off, like you say, Mike, and get some points here in the end, I just couldn't even fathom in my head what a MLS Cup at home would be, you know? So that's just like
be bonkers.
I didn't cry until like, you know, the second goal in the US Open Cup. I'd probably be in the final. I'd probably be in tears the entire time, you know, when I step onto the grounds. I don't even know what the emotion would be like hosting an MLS Cup final at home. So, but we got a long way to go to get there. We're taking it game by game, and the team's been doing really well taking it game by game and just getting results. So let's quickly do some stock ups and stock down. I mean, Ramiro Henrique, he's got to be the stock up. I mean, that's just my opinion.
All in favor.
But I got
an alternate.
But yeah, I mean, the guy stepped up when we needed him. And he had just a hell of a match and earned the man of the match day performance throughout all of MLS single-handedly. A 6-point switch against Columbus is in thanks to him. So my stock up's got to be with Henrique, and then I'm going to give my stock down to Schlegel just because we can't let up 3 goals every time he plays. You know, it's just not, that's not sustainable. We're not going to score 4 goals every time. It's not sustainable to give up 3 goals every time. So my stock down will go to Schlegel. Mike, who is your alternate?
Tincho, Martin Ojeda. Goal and an assist, team of the week honors. Honestly, I think playing on the the short porch in Citi Field this week, I think he's got a real good opportunity to start midweek again, and I would find him successful in that role. I think he deserves some praise. Goal and an assist brings him up to 6 goals, and if you count MLS assists, I believe that puts him at 10 assists on the year. So he's for limited time and not starting, he's actually got really decent production that we would want to see out of a DP. And then stock down, I'm just going to expand on what you said, right side of the defense. Realistically, Dagger's been playing really well. kind of struggled a little bit in this game. And him and Schlegel combined definitely had some shortcomings, especially the second goal by Diego Rossi. Schlegel tried to jump up. Don't know why he did that. Got beat behind. And Dagger wasn't closing down Yeboah. That's what caused that one. So they just need better communication between the two of them. And hopefully, you know, that's what they're working on in practice this week.
Yeah. Dagger, he's had, you know, it's kind of what you expect. He's got them growing pains going on. So,
the new position, you know,
yeah, Schlegel, I feel like he got toasted. But yeah, the defense, anytime you allow three goals, it's got to be somebody on that line of defense. Ryder, who's your stock down?
I was going to give a slight stock up to Facundo as well, kicking off the comeback and getting, he's proven that he can get hot and he can produce 12. He's up to 12 goals just in league play this year. So big shout out to him for getting us started up.
Dark even horse golden boot contender.
He's what, four away right now? Five Two. Away?
Two, three, actually. I think 15 is the lead.
Wow.
Yeah, and
no, don't let him get hot.
Keep in mind, Oscar Pereira's never had somebody score more than 12 goals for him. And
I think it's just a number nine. He's never had score more than 12 goals for him.
Yeah, well, Facundo's, he's taken over for sure. He's a couple goals away this week from being in an MVP conversation, in my opinion. It's
oh, never mind. It's 14 is the lead still. Buonga and Giacomakis are both on 14 goals.
So he's going to be on the graphics now. You love
and
that.
And Hani.
Yeah, he's a couple goals away from or just a couple of really anything away from having to be in that MVP conversation with us being second in the table.
It's a Hattie in the Bronx away. In Queens. Flushing.
Yeah, in Queens. We're playing at City Field.
Hit the apple. I don't have really anything to say. I was going to give like an honorary mention to Pedro for at least keeping us in it, but at the same time, like, he let three goals in, so I don't know if that's like a on-the-line kind of thing. I don't really have a stock down that isn't already including the defense that you guys have talked about, so we can move on.
All right, cool.
Pedro had a couple of nice saves, though.
He did, especially at the beginning of the match, first couple
of
minutes.
Yeah, definitely kept us in it overall. If that those didn't happen, we'd be screwed.
Let's talk about – we made a tweet from the podcast account – kind of, you know, giving support for not only Oscar Pereira, but also for Ricardo Morea and Luis Muzzi. A lot of talk's been going on this week from the major MLS pundits about how, you know, none of those guys are under contract at the end of the year. I know myself included, I was after Oscar's head at the beginning of the season after we got kicked out of Open Cup and we had 14 points in 10 matches, but I'd say things have changed. I am fully in support of Oscar, and I'm loving what's going on right now. I think everybody's got to be, but you know, really the question is when and if we're going to see an extension for these three guys that have led us so far. You know, we've been hearing stuff about getting a new manager. You know, there's been rumors that have gone around about possibly getting Tite from Brazil, the old Brazilian national coach team. There's been rumors of that. There's been rumors of them making changes this offseason. So, you know, I for one think it's time. I don't think it's something that necessarily needs to be done in the middle of this, you know, going into the stretch, but I don't think there would be a negative if it did get done going into the middle of the stretch. I hope these guys want to stay here. But I do think it's time to make an extension. I mean, they'd have to be blind in my opinion to ignore what's going on here. So, Mike, what's your opinion on that?
So, when it comes to Luis Muzzi and Ricardo Morera, as far as we know and what's been reported, is they actually have options on their contract. So their contract's not up. They just have option years that ownership hasn't exercised yet. So Papa Wilf, come on, man. Go ahead and do it. Honestly, give them promotions while you're at it. Like, make, as Eddie was saying, make Luis Muzzi president of football operations and make Ricardo Morera general manager. Like, these guys, what they've done, they deserve they deserve all the plaudits, all the praise, and they should be here. And at this point, as far as Oscar Pareja goes, I know our team is notorious for not negotiating stuff midseason. Like, we try not to because they look at that as being a distraction, which I understand it totally can be. But at this point, I understand the want to sit back and wait to see how we do in the playoffs, considering we haven't had – like, getting to the playoffs has been good, but we haven't had that success of advancing more than one round. So we want to see ourselves actually advance and be a contender in the playoffs now. But at the same time, one of the things they said on Extra Time this week, or that just dropped, is they can name so many teams in the league that have Oscar Pareja's number looked up and ready on speed dial if we don't renew his contract. So I agree. It would be foolish of us right now, absolutely foolish, to move on from him with the progression that he's made, the changes that he's made to his system, to our lineup, and the way that this team is playing. I feel like it would just be an absolute mistake if we moved on.
Yeah, I mean, that's putting it lightly. I would say it's a no-brainer, as I like to, we used to say in sales. It's literally a no-brainer to do it, in my opinion. We're second in the table, not only in Eastern Conference, but all MLS. So it's got to happen. It's just a matter of when. Ryder, anything to add?
One or two things. For one, for Oscar, I was one of those people that came out and wanted him gone. I actually tweeted it. I had had enough. I was tired of not seeing change. And guess what? That was the low point. The Charlotte match where we got bounced out in the round of 32 for the Open Cup, that was the low point of this season. It's been all upside. Oscar proved that he can adapt, overcome, change how this team operates. And with the pieces he had, I don't think, other than bringing in a handful of players from OCB, we did not make any big changes throughout this season. And look what we're doing. He adapted, he overcame, and let's talk about the fact that this was Orlando City's 100th win in MLS. Guess what? 59 of those wins have come under Oscar Pareja in the last 3.5 years, three and three quarters years. Before that, we had three coaches before him, and they only contributed 41 of those wins. We're already at about to break our best point total. We have made the playoffs every year under him, and he's proven he can adapt and use the players that he chooses and that scouting gets him. He should get an extension. And I don't know if it's strategy on the half of the Wilfs or what, but I'm hoping that they make the right call. They don't blow up something that isn't necessarily broken. This team can continue to rise, especially with the fact that we basically have an open DP slot going into the offseason, no matter what. And there's going to be increases in what we can do in the offseason. That's been rumored for a while with the inner messy stuff. So let's see what the Wilfs can get Oscar and get him more new toys. And Ricardo and Luis have proven they know where to look for those players. Let's go for it.
Yeah, we might have two open DP spots depending on what the league changes as far as rules.
That's what I'm saying. Who knows? They might expand from three to five. Who the heck
knows? I was going to say, might have three open DP slots depending on how Facundo finishes the season.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's true. And money to spend.
So yep. If that's the case, we just got to keep capitalizing. We got to do what we got to do.
Absolutely.
To make sure that this is the golden year, you know, that we turn it the best that we can into what we need to. Well, let's preview the two matches. We're doing pretty good on time. I'm almost proud of us. I still think we're going to go a little bit over what we talked about, but
it'll be under an hour. That's
We're doing good. We just got to shoot for 15 minutes and then we'll get to an hour.
You had to say it live, man.
Yeah. Let's talk about NYC. I mean, we're usually pretty quick on our predictions. We're not going to pod again before the Miami match on Sunday, which is in primetime national TV. FS1 has been advertising this ever since they got Messi. It's the first game on Fox for Messi in Miami. So, but talk first about New York City FC at Citi Field on the road this Wednesday. This is a team that's been pretty far down in the dumps, but they are also clawing for any, you know, chance that they would have at a playoff game. They need to win basically four out of their last five games. But we're going to be playing at Citi Field, midweek game, road game, always tough. Last time we had one of these, it was, you know, at RSL, and then Charlotte, and they're tough matches. They are tough matches to get anything from. Let's get some predictions in. Mike, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm going to start by saying this has all of the makings of a trap game. So, you know, with that being said, just, you know, keep that in mind, everyone, when this game's happening, if things start to struggle, this is 100% a trap game on the schedule. With that being said, the Mets have felt nothing but disappointment at Citi Field. And as a Mets fan, I could say that my dog is literally named Shay after the former stadium. NYCFC also does not play as well at Citi Field as they do in the Bronx, because I think they actually get a little extra dimensions out of it there. And I'm happy that the pitch actually looks better in Citi Field than it does in the Bronx. So I think that we're going to get a win. I think that we're going to go ahead and pad Pedro's clean sheet total, and go ahead and give me a 3-0 win. I'm feeling saucy today. I want to go ahead and see goals from Ojeda, Faku, and Big Dunk, who has been in training and should be ready to go this week, according to reports. So Big Dunk making his return. All three of them are three DPs, if you will, on the score sheet.
I'll save mine. Ryder, what's your prediction?
This is one of those midweek games where I think we're definitely going to be holding out a couple of players to face Messi, to take it to Miami. That Miami game is a huge statement game for us. NYCFC in Citi Field is a lot different. You're talking about your dog Shay. It was really funny to hear you tell that story about your dog to Johnny Damon. That was a real funny thing to drop on him. But this one, I still think we can pull it out. It's just going to be close. I don't think Pedro is going to get a clean sheet. I think we're still going to have a little bit of defensive struggle. I think we're going to be subbing in some guys pretty early on to keep this one kind of fresh legs, keep people rested. This has a 2-1 tied going into the final third of the match, and we get a goal to take this one home. So 2-1, the one true score line for me. And I'm going to say Duncan off the bench and Ojeda both get goals.
I'm going to go a Faku goal and a 1-1 tie. That's what I'm going to go. I would love a victory here. I'll be super happy with a draw, just so we can kind of kill New York City's chances. But just one of those games that when the season starts and you don't know how good anybody's going to be and everybody's even, one of the games that you circle as like, there's a really good chance this is going to be a really, really tough game. So I'll be stoked with a 1-1 draw, especially, like you said, Mike, heading into the trap game of all time. Florida State had one this past weekend. Barely got away from Boston College on the road because we have Clemson this week. That's sports. Tend to look ahead to the matchup that's you know, more important, especially when it's 3 days away. So I'll be happy with a 1-1 draw, and that's what I'm going to say is going to happen. Speaking about the match that's on Sunday, Inter-Miami. And Lionel Messi, the team from Pompano Beach, got pounded without Messi 5-2 by Atlanta. They look like the old, you know, Pompano Beach SC. So it's a big match. It's a match that not only can vault us into really being solid number two, but it could also really put a damper on Miami's playoff hopes. A lot of people paid a lot of money to see Messi play, and they have a match. The Open Cup final is in the middle of the week.
72 hours after.
Yeah, 3 days after. So, you know, guy might not even play, honestly. Might not even start. It's, you know, they're going to want to go for that silverware. They got Toronto midweek tomorrow at home. So it's not a lot of travel for them, but it is a lot of minutes. So we'll see how it goes. I'll start with this one. Playoff atmosphere. It's going to be, it's going to feel like an Eastern Conference final. And we were going to win. We're going to be the first team to beat Messi filled Miami and MLS play. And I'd say we're going to win, 3-2. That's what I'm going to say. 3-2. We're gonna go down early, and then we're gonna score three straight goals, and then they'll score one and make it tight. But I got 3-2. Orlando City. Faku Brace takes the lead on the golden boot, and nobody's gonna stop him from here. I think he's gonna be a $25 to $30 million transfer with the way our season ends out, and it all is gonna start this week. It's already been going on, but it's gonna be. What's been happening is putting the rocket on the launch pad, and I think liftoff is about to happen in the next few days for Facundo Torres. So, Ryder, give me your prediction for this one.
Is there a SpaceX launch during the match or something? Good grief.
I don't know. They got that thing on the pad, the other one that had to blow up the last time, so we'll see.
Oh, that's out in Texas, the Starship, yeah. If the FAA ever lets it take off. I know this is hyperbole, but this is the most important match in the remainder of our season. And here's why. Nationally televised, big momentum. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Messi's not going to play. They're going to save him for the Open Cup midweek. Messi's going to play. He's not going to necessarily play the whole match. I don't even think he's going to start, which actually scares me more. But he's going to play. It's a rivalry match. He definitely got a taste of the rivalry in League's Cup. He's going to come for blood. He and Arujo are going to just renew that fight. And if he doesn't get a yellow card, Messi or Arujo get a yellow card, jawing at each other and chipping at each other, I will be shocked. But this is a big moment for Orlando because we're also going to be putting our players out there just not just for the league to see, for America to see. This thing's going to be broadcasted all over the world. And I think that a couple of our players who have bigger aspirations for Europe are going to ball out. And I think it's going to be a big showing for us. It's going to be a tight game. I agree with the 3-2 scoreline. Orlando comes away with it, but I think we're going to trade goals back and forth, and we're going to get something pretty close to the end of the match that gives us the win. And we're going to, and I think Facundo Torres is going to put a giant "please buy me" sign on his jersey and play at least a brace in this match. So I don't think he's going to get a lot of minutes in Queens midweek. I think he'll get maybe 50 minutes, and that he's going to go all out against Inter Miami on Sunday.
Yep. I agree with that, Ryder. I think we've all seen the coming out party, but I think now it's for the entire country to see, and maybe even the world. So everybody will be watching, and it's his time to shine. So, all right, shout outs. Anybody got one that they want to start with? What did you went, Mike?
No, you're just going to skip me.
I thought you went. You're up.
He didn't talk Miami.
No, well, no,
that's what happens when we got to preview two games in one.
Hey,
shout out to the MLS schedule.
Yeah, shout out to that. That's for sure. No, so for me, I'm going 3-1 victory on this. I do think that we're probably going to see rotation midweek, so that way we have full all systems go for this game. And for me, I think that I can feel like Miami might rest some people for this game, including those big names where they either don't start or come off the bench or something like that. Just because of the fact that, like, that Open Cup, they want to win that trophy. You can go ahead and start your stars and absolutely get an easy win against Toronto. If you don't start your stars, I realistically think that you can lose that game because they still have Insigne and Bernardeschi. Like, they still have quality up front. So, like, that's a game that you start your stars, you win. You sit your stars, you can F it up, for lack of a better term. So especially if they don't start stars against us, I think 3-1 is fair. But for me, it's going to be, 2-1. They're going to be pushing for it, and we're just going to go ahead and put it away late. And again, I'm with you guys. Give me 2 goals by Faku and 1 by Dunk on that one. And yeah, Faku, especially at home, he loves those big games. I think he's going to rise to the occasion, especially after he didn't get it done in League's Cup. He wants revenge, and he wants Messi to say, look at Messi and be like, this is my league. So
that would be awesome. I think Cesar likes big matches too. I would like to see another goal from him against Miami. So
he
doesn't score often, but he steps up when we need it. So,
and when he does, it's fireworks.
And the emotion that comes out of him when he does, absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would like to see that. So, all right, now we'll get on to the shout outs. Mike, do you have one off the top of your head?
Yeah, I got a quick silly one because I have a feeling I know where Alex is going to go with his. And if he doesn't, then I'll come back to me and we'll do a second one. But I just want to give a shout out to Orlando City Twitter, just because the amount of times that we come back and retweet the dumbest things. Like, I just saw Kay Rollins and Jared Dillon retweeting stuff of Faku being up for player of the week and, like, Pedro Galese for Golden Glove from, like, tournaments back in the day. And, like, those things pop up all the time. And it just always makes me laugh that we just put those things back on the timeline so frequently when they have nothing to do with anything. It's just one of those dumb things that brightens up my day. So shout out to OC Twitter. I always appreciate the silliness when stuff like that pops up.
Ryder,
we disagree on other things, but that's always cool.
I truly don't, and I'm just gonna do my shout out, and then I'll be curious to hear what he has to say. But just shout out to the Orlando City Foundation for an amazing event, great foot golf. I do feel for Cleon and JJ, Cleon especially, but he did recover and he did finish out his hole at the end, so great job to both of them, both JJ and Cleon. Cleon definitely needed that lunch afterwards to recover. But and then just shout out to all the cool people we got to meet. We were talking, all 5 of us, sorry Swag, wish you were there, talking to Johnny Damon and hamming it up with Breck Shea, and it was just a grand old time. It was a great event, and we appreciate Kay for having us out and for coming on the pod last week. That was only JJ knew about that last week, and he surprised us with that. And it was a grand old time. Great, great podcast. 200 episodes, 201. I think we got another 200 in us. What do you guys think?
For sure. Was that where you were thinking he was going to go, Mike?
Yeah, just shout out to the OC Foundation. They were great. And, Johnny Damon and Breck Shea were both, like, so cool with sitting and talking with us. Kay, even when they came and sat
so
at our
weird.
Table. They came and sat at our table, oh, cool. Like, just like, hey, is this space here? And we were like, yeah, sure. And then Kay came up and introduced. She's like, yeah, these guys are the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Like, introduced us to Breck Shea and Johnny Damon. Like, made us just feel kind of cool. And then also the other person that we ran into there, Scott Sutter was there, Gallardo, Muzi, Marrera, Jared Dillon, and also Matt Lewis, who plays Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter franchise. Super cool guy. He's a big Leeds fan. So that was
we talked soccer with him for like 10 minutes.
Very, very cool experience. I'm very thankful to the OC Foundation and Kay Rollins for getting us out there. And we would love to do it again.
Oh, yeah. I am the proud owner of the weirdest signed soccer ball in the history of signed soccer balls. It is signed by Johnny Damon. Who is the gentleman that played Neville?
Matt Lewis.
Thank you. Matt Lewis, Kay Rollins, and Breck Shea. That is just the weirdest collection of signatures maybe ever assembled on a soccer ball. Johnny Damon was telling me, I think this might be my first soccer ball I've ever signed. And then like 10 people got in line after us and asked for signatures. So that was a great time.
I wish I could have been there. That sounded like a great time for sure.
That's why I said next time, bring us back. We want to go.
I loved all the pictures too. It was some good moments made.
And the belt, and shout out to the belt, finally got delivered to where it was promised about a year ago.
Yeah, the belt did get finally delivered. So that should have been my shout out. Cleon finally following through with his word that he had given. Literally over a year ago. So, but yeah, now it's going back to the foundation where you might try to do what we can to get it back into Cleon's hands, but we'll see how that works. So, my shout out's going to go to Cappy's food truck, because they were on Footy Scran and a lot of people didn't like the purple bread. I love the touch. That's because purple's my favorite color. And, you just have to be an Orlando City fan to appreciate it. So, we're one of what, like three teams in the world that wear purple for our main color, I think, three or four. So it's not something that's easily appreciated. And I would just like to tell Adam, you know, he may be down about the responses, but even bad publicity is always good publicity. So I appreciate the Footy Scram.
No, and here's the thing I'm going to add to that 100%, because I've had it. I've eaten it before. So first off, don't be intimidated by the purple bread. It literally is just ube powder that his baker puts in the bread because he told me about it to make it purple. It literally adds nothing to the taste. It just makes it look cool. Second, if you haven't gotten an actual sandwich at Cappy's or from the food truck, like, or inside the stadium, go do it. Guy makes a delicious sandwich. Like, I recommend the honey Cuban. I went into his actual restaurant and got the hot pastrami. Like, guy knows his stuff. Cannot recommend Cappy's enough.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's purple, green, red, as long as the bread tastes good.
Green might matter a little bit.
I mean, it, yeah.
Yeah.
Look one thing, taste is another.
A lot of people are hating on it, but it's a fantastic sandwich, and he does that place has been open for a long time for a reason, and it's in great hands right now, and there's a reason they got in the stadium, and I hope people go and get some Cappies behind the wall
on the ILF side, I believe.
I can't wait. I'll be back in for the last two home matches and all the playoff matches. I'm pumped. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to get some Cappies. And to be back in the stadium, watching Orlando City do their thing as the finishing stretch comes up. So, anybody else got anything else to add?
Nah, man, I'm chilling. This is some of the best form that we've actually no. This is the best form we've ever seen. Even if we go back to the COVID year, like right now, our points per game this season is at the highest it's ever been. And that includes the COVID year where we finished at 1.78. We're rocking a 1.79 right now. And over the last like 18 games or 19 games, we've been so much higher than that even. Enjoy this, embrace it. But the boys got to keep it going. And they definitely need to hear you in the stadium, especially on Sunday. There's probably going to be some pink in the stadium that we don't want to see. So drown out any noise that they make. Be as loud as you want. Curse if you like it. Don't have to make fun of just, you know, Messi. Just, you know, make sure that they feel every bit of the wall on them at all times, because that's going to be a hell of an atmosphere. I want you guys to all enjoy that. And just make life hell for the team in pink.
Make them feel unwelcome. Who cares about their feelings?
And don't mess this up, Orlando City. The security, do not do not mess this up. They have an opportunity to make a stand and show what this club's about. Do not get soft. Don't do it, please.
And so. And OC supporters, keep a cool head. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to try and jaw and intimidate. Keep a cool head. Keep a cool head. I agree.
All right, y'all. Well, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you guys, all the listeners. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. Episode 201 of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. And we can't wait to be back on. We'll see you on the Den After Dark on Wednesday and on Sunday night. And we can't wait to be back on next week. We'll see you guys then. So thanks again for listening, and vamos Orlando.
Vamos.
Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.